I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Vaughn Palmer joins me now as we continue looking at the provincial election and referendum campaign. There's no one better to talk to. He is the Vancouver Sun's most popular columnist. You can read him on page 3 of the A section. He's been at the Sun since 1973 and has written a political column since 1984 when he succeeded Marjorie Nichols. He hosts Voice of BC Thursday nights on Shaw Television. He has received the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Jack Webster Foundation, named after his mentor, Bruce Hutchison. I'm very pleased to welcome to the Plant Online program, Vaughn Palmer. Good morning, Mr. Palmer.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Very well, yourself.
Good.
I read somewhere that you don't vote.
No, I don't, because I spend too much time covering politics and politicians, and I think a lot of people who cover politics reach this conclusion that if you voted for one of them, you'd probably have that in the back of your mind for a few months after the election. So I don't. Some of my colleagues vote but spoil their ballot. Some of them cast a blank ballot. I don't know many political journalists now who vote in elections that they're also covering.
So that includes the STV deal, right?
On the referendum, I haven't really thought about that. That's actually a good question. I haven't really thought about that one way or another.
How many election campaigns has this been for you?
Well, old Mr. Palmer's going to have to think backwards and work it out. But let's see, 86, 91, 96, 01, 05, and this is 09. So how many is that? Five, six?
Six. That's six, yeah. And how does this rate among previous campaigns that you've covered? This is pretty dull, isn't it?
So far, it's been relatively quiet, but it got more interesting on Friday afternoon with the incident involving the Solicitor General. Still got 2 weeks to go. I've been reminding people that the phenomenon that occurred in 1991 with Gordon Wilson stretched over about 10 days. The Liberal Party emerged as a major factor in BC politics, surged to the top of the polls, fell back, and ended up as opposition. So there's still plenty of time for stuff to happen.
This Van Dongen thing, and there's another candidate who's got a spotty driving record, actually a couple who have multiple tickets of the sort. Do you think that these issues will resonate with voters? I mean, is that your sense that they have so far over the weekend?
I don't have any sense of how this has played with the public over the weekend, although I did listen to phone-in on CKNW on Friday afternoon, and there were a lot of people very angry about Van Dongen. I think Van Dongen is in a separate category here, and the reason I think that is because he is still the province's Solicitor General in charge of the police and our Minister for Public Safety. And this is a chronic scofflaw by his own admission, an excessive speeder by his own record. And I just don't know if really that people would think of him as a suitable person to hold a position like that, given his own record. I also ask, like, how could a cabinet minister do what he's done, which is he does all these public events and he does press releases, you know, telling British Columbians to drive safely on holiday weekends, excessive speed kills, with his own record? Like, how does a person do that and not earn the title of Hypocrite of the Year?
That's your column this morning in the Sun. What does it take for a Liberal candidate to not get a nomination, right?
Yes, no, I did a piece this morning in the paper just pointing out that the Liberals actually have dropped one candidate. They did it just before the election started, but they did drop a candidate this year. And the guy is Joe Cardozo. He was nominated to run for the Liberals in Boundary Similkameen, and then they turned around and dumped him because they said he hadn't been upfront about his background. Well, it turns out that what got him dumped was 3.5 years ago. He wrote a letter to the editor of the newspaper in Oliver saying that Gordon Campbell had mishandled the labor dispute with the teachers and that he should be fired. So John Van Dongen's record doesn't get you dumped as a candidate. Being under investigation by a special prosecutor, as John Less is being, doesn't get you dumped as a candidate. But if you say Gordon Campbell's got to go, some things with the Liberals are just unforgivable.
But on the same token, do you think Ray Lamb should have stepped aside because of those Facebook photos?
Well, I think Ray Lamb, and look, I don't know the background to how that decision came about, but what I heard Ray Lamb say publicly was that he didn't want to become an issue in the campaign. And he's a young man. He's, what, 22? I think if you, you know, I don't know an awful lot about Facebook. I'm not on Facebook, but I can see that people put pictures up there. They may not be aware they're public. But it struck me that he just decided that he was embarrassed and to drop out for the good of his party. And I think if a candidate decides that, you have to respect the decision. I don't know as though the public would have found that unacceptable. My guess is he probably would have gotten away with it if he decided to stay and run. I think people would have said, okay, well, you know, that was pretty silly, but they understand how that can happen. But from what I heard him say publicly, it was his choice. Maybe he talked to the party as well, but it was his choice to go. And I think when somebody decides to step aside to take some heat for their party, then you respect that.
Thursday night on Voice of BC, you've got Jerry Scott and Tom Christensen on, right?
No, last Thursday night.
Oh, last Thursday
night. Jerry Scott and Tom Christensen talking about the campaign. This Thursday, the show is on STV. Bill Thielman, the president of No to STV, and Bruce Halser, who is the co-chair of Yes to BCSTV.
I'll ask you about STV in just a sec, but these two guys that came on, they're running the campaigns for the NDP and the Liberals, right?
Jerry Scott is the campaign manager for the NDP. The Liberals, we asked them for a campaign manager. They said the campaign manager was busy, and instead they sent along Christensen, who's the cabinet minister, but not running again. He's the minister who's sort of keeping an eye on the government while everybody else is out campaigning. So that's why we ended up with that combination.
Do you think that the parties failed to vet their candidates properly?
I think there's some evidence out there that both parties really failed to look at what is available online. We saw this in the federal campaign as well. We've seen it now. Most of the embarrassing things that have affected candidates, caused them to step aside, or led to calls for them to step aside, has been material that has been available online, either videos on YouTube, pictures on Facebook, newspaper clippings. Newspaper clippings and letters to the editor, a lot of that stuff is available online now. So I've sort of said to people, if anyone out there is thinking of running for office, find the brightest young person you know who really knows the internet backwards and forwards and upside down, and tell them to spend a couple of days finding out everything they can about you on the internet. Like provincial court registry will tell people what a person's driving record is. Newspaper files will tell you the stupid things then they may have said 10 years ago or the letters to the editor they wrote. Check them out on YouTube. Check them out through the groups they belong to. Not witch hunting, but just so that when you're going to run for office yourself, you know what's out there and how you're going to deal with it.
On STV now, what's your sense of the campaign thus far? How do you think it'll go?
I'd be surprised if it passes for this reason. I think that the sentiment for electoral change to a new system in British Columbia, my guess is it peaked in 2005 because the two previous elections, people thought the result was distorted. In 1996, I think a lot of people were concerned that the party that got the most votes, the Liberals, didn't win the most seats, lost the election. I think a lot of people were concerned that in 2001, the 40% of the people that voted against the Liberals ended up with two seats in the House. So, you know, it was because the Greens took some votes and the NDP took some votes. But the end result was you didn't have much of an opposition. So by the time we get to 2005, I think the view is out there that our system delivers some pretty frustrating results. However, in 2005, we got an election where the popular vote and the balance of seats in the House matched up. People voted collectively to re-elect the Liberals, and they voted collectively for a much stronger opposition, and they got both. They got the Liberals in a second term on a shorter leash, and they got one of the biggest and, you know, largest number of opposition members we've ever had. So I think after that, some of the sentiment for change may have diminished. I don't know that. I'm just guessing that the drive for electoral reform has, or the yearning for electoral reform has slackened. And I think we also have to note that proposals to change to a new electoral system failed in a referendum in Prince Edward Island and failed decisively by a big margin in Ontario.
Is there a connection, do you think, by how people will vote in the general election as to how they'll vote on the referendum?
Well, my friend Sean Holman suggests, and this is an interesting suggestion, that, you know, the nice thing about having two ballots in May is that you get to make two decisions. Usually you only get to make one.
Right.
So you can vote for the party of your choice and then vote to stick it to both the major parties by voting for electoral change. And that's, you know, an interesting thought that, you know, you can go in and vote for the NDP, or you can go in and vote for the Liberals or one of the other parties, but you can also say, you know, I'm really not happy with all the choices I have. I think I'd like another electoral system, so I'm going to vote for that as well. And if that becomes a dominant idea on election day, STV may pass.
On to the NDP's campaign, it seems that they've lost the environment as an issue. It's sort of run away from them. Do you think Carol James can improve the campaign in the days that we have left in the election?
Well, their first 10 days were not great. I mean, the New Democrats entered the campaign behind in all of the opinion polls that we had seen up to this year. All three major polling organizations, the NDP had been behind. So the general consensus was they had to catch up. I don't think their first 10 days really helped them to do that. They had some stumbles themselves. They had some campaign events that didn't work out the way they wanted. They lost a candidate. And their environment movement split. They had some environmentalists praising them as they always had. But for the first time, you had prominent environmental leaders in British Columbia really, really campaigning against the NDP. So they had a rough 10 days. Can they still catch up? Sure. Plenty of time. I mean, we're 2 weeks to go, and polls can turn on a dime. I think what happened with the Liberals on Friday, the controversy over Van Dong and the controversy over some other Liberal candidates, I think helped the New Democrats. They needed a bit of a break. They needed the government to stumble a bit. The government has stumbled, so no, the election is far from over in my view.
Do you think the debates will matter next week?
Well, the debate last week was interesting to me because that was another example where James needed to make some gains. I don't think she did. Campbell breaks even on a debate if James doesn't score any points off him because, as I said, she's got to gain ground. The interesting thing about the debate on the radio last week is that Jane Stirk, who's a relatively unknown quantity in BC politics, a one-term member of council in Esquimalt, gets her first substantial media exposure, and I thought she handled herself pretty well. Something very interesting about what she did was she targeted the NDP. Three or four times, she went right after the NDP's position. Now, that's a politician, right? She realizes that if the Greens are going to make any gains in the campaign, they're going to have to close that gap on the NDP. They're going to take their votes from the NDP. So with that being the dynamic of the first debate, I think people will be watching closely on Sunday, the 3rd, to see again if James is able to lay a glove on Campbell, as I don't think she did in that first debate. If the change around Van Dongen changes the dynamic for Campbell, and can Jane Stirk repeat her performance in the earlier debate, which is, I think, you know, she was the one who probably gained the most.
Do you think they'll be a factor in this campaign, the Greens?
Well, I think that there's two ways for a third party in British Columbia to be a factor. I mean, one way is obviously you win some seats in the legislature, and we have had third parties do that. The other way is you take more votes from one party than you do from the other, and I think the Greens have been a factor. New Democrats would tell you that they blame the Greens for the loss of some seats in 2001 and in 2005. So the old vote-splitting thing you hear in British Columbia is alive. The unusual thing about the last two BC elections was that in the past we've tended to see vote-splitting on the center-right. In the last two BC elections, there's been more of a vote-splitting on the center-left.
Are you on the road with the leaders much during this campaign, or are you in Victoria most of the time?
Not as much as in the past. The newspaper decided to have somebody with both campaigns for the duration, so the Sun and the Province and the Victoria Times columnist and Global Television, all owned by the same chain, have a reporter on the Liberal campaign and a reporter with the New Democrats for the duration, and they also have camera there as well. So the resources are there, but the columnists were just dropping in and out. So I will be at some campaign events, have been at some, but I've been talking to our reporters on the buses more than I have in the past, because I have been on the buses less than I have in the past.
Do you still enjoy it after six campaigns?
Oh, sure. BC politics is a good gig. You know, it's always interesting. There's always stuff going on. For a political journalist, British Columbia has been a pretty interesting place to work.
You're a pretty high-profile commentator here in the province, and I'm sure you've heard and read a lot of the criticism that you get because the company that you work for, and not just your company, but, you know, mainstream sort of corporate media in general. What's wrong about the criticism that you get from, say, bloggers or the independent media?
Well, I mean, I've been getting, this is not something new. You write about British Columbia politics, you're going to have people complaining, and that's inevitable, right? You're dishing out commentary on BC politics, you're going to hear from people. And the other thing you're going to hear is whatever you say, it's going to be interpreted as serving one side or the other, which makes you part of a conspiracy. I mean, most of us in the press gallery have been through, some of us have been through three or four cycles of this, most of us have been through one or two. I mean, a lot of us can remember when we were part of a giant left-wing media conspiracy to destroy the sainted Bill Vanderzant. And then in the 90s, we were part of a giant right-wing conspiracy to destroy the sainted Glenn Clark. So, I mean, this has been going on for a while. The blogosphere email and the blogosphere have provided people with a new way to tell you that, but the messaging isn't all that different from, you know, the pile of letters that I threw out after Vanderzant left office and the pile of letters that I threw out after Glenn Clark left office.
Say, have you read Vanderzam's book?
I have Vanderzam's book here, and we've invited Vanderzam to come on the TV show this summer and talk about his book. I have not read his book yet. I've sort of thumbed through it to look at his account of two or three things just because I wanted to see what he said and if there'd be enough to talk about. My sense from the book is there's plenty to talk about, and I'm happy to say that in spite of a couple of the things that he's said about me over the years, he's generously agreed to appear on the show, so it should be fun.
We had him on, and he was quite fun to have on.
Oh, look, the thing about Vanderzam, and maybe the thing that people don't realize about, you know, a lot of the things you say about politicians, is that in an odd way, it isn't really personal. I mean, most people in politics are likable people. They like people if you get to know them. Vanderzam has just got a delightful personality. Glenn Clark has got a delightful personality. Now, if you're being managed by him or if you're disagreeing with one of them on an issue, you probably get pretty mad at them. But, you know, it's not like they're not always all like their public image. And after they leave office, they tend to mellow somewhat.
Does Gordon Campbell have a delightful personality?
Campbell has, I think, demonstrated during this campaign a number of incidents that have been reported that he has a great sense of humor. My favorite moment that has been recounted to me, I wasn't there, was when he walked on a campaign bus up in the Peace River country and said, "Hey, guys, look out the window. You can see Russia from here," which was, of course, a joke at the expense of Sarah Palin. But, you know, the other thing about it is that just because these people make jokes and laugh and have kids and grandkids and you know, have personalities and like people because they're in politics, just because of all that, it doesn't mean that the criticisms of their policies or the deep, deep, bitter divisions over the consequences of their action, I don't think it should diminish that. I mean, I just think you're aware of the fact that there are people out there that you can profoundly disagree with and can be totally wrong about things, and they may still be, you know, the kind of person that would make a nice next-door neighbor or a good uncle or even a best friend.
Well, will you be on the debate on Sunday?
I will be there covering the debate on Sunday. The host of the debate is Russ Froese, who's a great broadcaster, was the host of the evening news for many years on what used to be called CKVU and U Television is now City TV in Vancouver. I worked with them for a long time. And he'll be on, and then the three candidates.
Well, we'll watch you on Thursday night with Thielman and Hulser. And, Vaughn, I appreciate this very much.
Thanks very much.
Voice of BC is on Shaw Television Thursday nights at 8. And, of course, you can read the column in The Sun. Vaughn Palmer on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.